The vision, a world where all people live free of the burden of drug abuse. This is the Drug-Free America Foundation's Pathway to Prevention podcast, where we are committed to developing strategies that prevent drug use and promote sustained recovery. Thank you for not only tuning in, but your continued support and efforts to help make this world a better place. We hope you enjoy this episode. All right, listeners, my guest today is from Drug Free Australia, and she's here to share a new resource they've created that puts prevention first. It is a new suite of health education modules with a focus on drug use prevention, and it's meant to be used by teachers, parents, school counselors, life coaches, and youth workers. It's called Save Your Brain. And it's targeted at younger adolescents in middle school years to promote an understanding of how the brain develops throughout the early years and into adolescence. Now, it really focuses on the impact of alcohol and other drugs on the brain, but it also looks at protective factors to give teens the tools to be able to negotiate antisocial requests in peer pressure situations. So sit back and enjoy my conversation with Josephine Baxter. And without further ado, welcome, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be here.
So for our listeners, would you share, where are you joining us from in this world?
Well, Drug Free Australia is located with headquarters in Adelaide in South Australia, but we have representatives in each of our states and territories right across Australia. And we have links across the globe with some marvellous people that work in drug prevention. But Adelaide, South Australia, come on down.
Hey, all right. Wonderful. So what brought you to working there at Drug Free Australia?
Well, I've had a career most of my life in education, and that's involved teaching from the very youngest of students right through to those that graduate into university in Australia, so that would be year 12. And in that time, I met a marvellous number of kids that just needed some direction in their lives. Anyone who's a teacher out there will know that teaching isn't just a job, it is a passion, and we just want the best for our students. I could see many kids floundering in their studies, and it was because they were worried about certain things. It wasn't their intellectual ability. And when one of my dearest friends lost their son to the abuse of drugs after a long battle fighting against it, I then amazingly got a call from an organisation in Australia called Life Education. And they said to me, Joe, with your experience in education, could you come and help us develop some curriculum for schools? And I did that for about 4 years. It was a marvellous experience. And that sort of took me into the curriculum area and the greater passion of keeping our kids healthy. So I've worked overseas as well. I've worked with students in Malaysia and also done some research in the United States and Europe, all linked to this work. And it's just really just seemed to have compounded into the need now to do something for Drug Free Australia that's online, particularly during COVID times. So here we are with our Save Your Brain offering.
Listeners, I hope you can hear the passion and the caring in Joe's voice. And I can't wait to unpack all the lessons that you've learned, the experience, the wisdom you have to offer us. But would you share just a little bit about what all Drug Free Australia has going on before we really jump into Save Your Brain?
We do a lot of work within communities. We work with Rotary, who have a wonderful prevention program, prevention of addiction program. We work with churches and other faith groups to make sure that they get the message that the real truth about drugs, I guess, the fact that as Dr. Bob DuPont says from the Institute of Behaviour and Health, this is chemical slavery. These drugs are powerful and the brain does change. And so we find that it's really important to get the education out there into communities and work directly at community level. We work with governments. We lobby governments quite extensively to help them understand what the commercial marijuana industry is up to and doing exactly what the tobacco industry did decades ago to make it sound like a safe drug, and it's not. It's a very harsh drug on the brain and a long-term one that affects people terribly in terms of their mental health. So lobbying is also very important. We put out monthly bulletins that try to tap into the latest events that are happening, mainly to dismiss the myths and the, I guess it's fake news that gets out there about drugs and making them more acceptable to people. Yep, that's what we do.
Got a lot going on. And listeners, don't worry. The show notes for this episode will be loaded with links and resources as well. So what do you say we jump in and talk about Save Your Brain? What do you think?
That would be great.
All right. Yeah. Well, I gave a little sneak peek during the episode introduction, but I know you'll do it much better justice than I did. What is Save Your Brain?
Well, Save Your Brain is an online website that parents and teachers and anyone that cares about their young people can tap into, and they can get information that will be suitable for their background knowledge if they just want to talk to their kids about drugs. But in the school setting, it's for teachers who also get their background information on the substances that they're going to talk to with their children. It's not only related just to substances, it's related to the behaviours that kids go through when they're under peer pressure, when they are trying to go for sports and their friends are saying, hey, just try this, it'll make you do better in your sport, and for kids to understand the myths. Now, what we've done is we've created a portal that's age-appropriate so that, for example, if teachers in schools want to go into it and they have a year 5-6 group, they can go in and find activities, information just at that level. At year 5 and 6, we've actually started with that, and we've got our website live now for people to go in, and we'd love information from the audience as to how they feel that's going. It's a very new program, so we thought year 5 and 6, let's stop it at this point and get the community, the teachers, the parents, to have a look at the website, tell us what they like about it, tell us what they'd like to see that might be added to it, offer us some resources, and there might be stories that they have to tell of what their little ones are going through that we can share with other parents. Because what we want people to realise is that drug use is preventable, and communities and caring for each other can be a big part in helping families stop it. I think of the mums before their kids go to school that go to play groups and go to family settings that their councils may have set up, and it might be a mother's support group, a father's support group. And when they go there, they share their ideas and they help each other so much, and they know they're doing everything right. This is a support portal. It's one that if you can't get out there, maybe you're locked down with COVID, or you just might have lots to do around the home, you can go into this portal and get instant information at that age group level. We then move up to year 7 and 8, which is, I guess, the start of middle school and the start of so many changes in young people's lives and their brains. If anybody's got a teenager, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And these year 7 and 8 kids are still very vulnerable because they're hanging on our every word. As a parent and as a teacher, when you say something to a child, you might think they haven't heard you, but they have. Subconsciously, if not, you know, quite consciously, they've heard what you say. They might appear to dismiss it, but very often they take it completely on board. And so we want this level to reassure the teachers and the parents that they can tell their kids about drugs and what the myths are and what, you know, the truths are around what's happening to them and their brain at puberty, and how their brain is starting to really develop, really to branch out and then be pruned down into the adult brain. And pruned into the adult brain is so important because that's where, by the time they're about in their late teens, early 20s, the brain is almost fully developed, but it can be so destroyed in those early 10 years by substances. It can be completely wiped out. That's where marijuana can make kids feel depressed, lose motivation at school, even have memory loss and psychotic episodes. And so that young brain at years 7 and 8 is really vital for them to understand how important it is. It's the engine room of their bodies. It's what makes them work as human beings. It what helps them to manage life, and it helps them to take care of others when they need to. If they haven't got that because substances have destroyed those parts of the brain, they almost turn into a vegetative state, or they become very selfish and self-centered, or they lose a lot of confidence. So teachers and parents of years 7 and 8 kids, and that is when they're in their budding teen years, 11, 12, 13, 14, that's when they're often their most impressionable, and they need you there. It's hard, but they do need you there. Then we move to years 9 and 10 at school, and that's when they're in 15, 16, 17-year age group, and they're starting to branch out. Some of them are getting part-time jobs. They're exposing themselves to the wider world and the influences of the wider world. So at that time, our year 9 and 10 modules look at what they want their goals to be in the future and what, you know, they can do to prevent substances hurting their goals and their aims. And then we go to year 11 and 12, and sadly in Australia, but perhaps not elsewhere in the world, some of our education curriculum has taken drugs and health off the agenda, off their curriculum, certainly the drugs part of it. But we know that's a time when they're making decisions about college and university, and when they're going to even decide where they want to go in the world to live. They're becoming real young adults, and substances can destroy all those dreams. Sadly, many people, young people, lose their lives at that stage. There's one program in the US, one website in the US called Johnny's Ambassadors. It's a wonderful website where the young man lost his life before he'd had a chance to live. And it relates so well to my circumstances and the friend I had whose son also lost his life through suicide at the age of 23. So we want to prevent what is preventable, and drug use is preventable. I hope that covers it. It's going to be for your audience out there. I want you to feel you can really explore what we've already put on the portal and feel absolutely free to give us feedback on what we can do better, what they liked about it, and more importantly, if they've got something they can share with us that we can add to it. So I hope I've covered most of it at this point.
That was wonderful. And there were so many tidbits of wisdom that you shared that I don't think you even realized, but it really hit me when you said that for the youth, the 7 and 8, that they're going to hang on to every word you say, whether you realize it or not, and they need us to be there for them. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have explored the website, and I know you want the listeners to explore it as well, but I like a good story. What inspired Save Your Brain, or what led up to let's create these modules?
We were inspired by research done by the Institute of Behavior and Health, and that's headed up by Dr. Bob DuPont and his wonderful team. And they did research over several years with partner universities, and they were able to find out a lot more and provide a lot more input into the current research into how the brain develops. And when I looked at what was preventable in terms of alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, and in fact any substance that our bodies don't need, when they found out that the young brain was so vulnerable to those substances, it just clicked for me. I thought, this is who we have to be looking after. Too many teenagers have gone through their years not realizing, just thinking, oh, I'm going to go to a party. My friends have said to me, just try this ecstasy tablet. It'll give you a good time. You'll dance longer. You'll stay awake longer, and you'll be fine. Well, I'm really sad to relate that the ambassador of our program, Mr. Tony Wood, also inspired through the sadness of his losing his 15-year-old daughter, who died after taking one ecstasy tablet at a rave party. Just one. Now, we've since found out that ecstasy itself is, it's a little bit like if you're allergic to peanuts. In the substances that are in ecstasy, even if it's a pure ecstasy tablet with what they say is in it, that substance is the killer. That's the allergic reaction that kids and young people can have when they take just one tablet. Her friends might have taken several and they might still be okay. Their brains will be suffering, but they might still be alive. But Tony Wood had the devastation of his daughter going off one night and not coming back. And that was because she didn't know about what these substances could do, and she believed what her friends said. And her friends weren't trying to make her sick. They were as horrified and devastated by Anna's death as anyone was. And now there's a wonderful book out there that you can get, I guess, in many other outlets called Anna's Story. And that tells the story of Anna Wood and how at 15, this beautiful, beautiful girl who was loved by everybody in the school and was very caring of her fellow students was just sadly led astray with misinformation and lack of information about drugs. So Save Your Brain is out there to show everybody, whether you're a grandparent, a parent, a teacher, a school counsellor, a sports coach, if you want to find out the real truth about what these drugs are doing, then take a look at this website. We will point you to other websites as well, ones that we trust. So hopefully the myths can be dispelled and the truth will reign supreme over these great big commercial interests, the pharmaceutical companies, the marijuana industry itself. They're just out there to make a profit, and the profit is based on the lives of our young people.
Wonderful resource. And what I'm hearing is that there is content, there's information for the youth, but then also for the adult as well. That combination, that 1-2 punch right there does make this just, y'all, an incredible resource worth checking out.
And I guess I'd love to add, and I hope that your listeners will find this if they go into the website, that the information is age appropriate. So for our years 5 and 6, they're the 11 and 12-year-olds. It's drug information. It's more about how do we look after our bodies and our brains with the substances and food that we eat? How do we stay healthy? You know, the bane of a lot of parents' life is how do I get healthy food into my children? the junk food is out there. It's very appealing. So we like to address that and the people that care about these young children in the right direction of how they can, some strategies for, making food fun and also monitoring the intake of that sort of thing. Also exercise and getting enough sleep and helping children to relax before they go to sleep rather than, lie awake in bed worrying, and the peer pressure that they can often be bullied at school. So we cover topics like that, and we'd like to expand on those because they can be the determinants of drug use. People often want to self-medicate because they're feeling sad or lonely. It's not because they want to celebrate. Quite often it's to take away the pain of something. And we want to give people right through the series age-appropriate information on how we manage ourselves, the issues that come, the stresses that come in our lives, because stress is normal. It's how we manage it.
So if I'm hearing correctly, the modules build on each other as the youth progresses and ages and grows, the information grows with them. But there's no time too late for youth to get engaged with this content. No point saying, oh, they're already in seventh and eighth years, too late. Like, plug them in, get them online.
Yep, plug them in. Mm-hmm. And, you can start that information about nutrition and all of that quite early in a child's life anyway. And when, sadly, some of our kids they see the media and they see the terrible stories that the media seems to really thrive on. So we want to bring out some good news stories too of people that have managed to get away from drugs. Sadly, it's in my experience, I did work at a rehabilitation centre for a few years in Australia, and the sad news there was that people who came in, most of them were adults, but often they had young families. And the sad news was that unless they had really great motivation, the chemical slavery that Bob DuPont talks about had really hit their brains, and it was so hard for them to recover. However, you never give up on anyone. Drug Free Australia has huge compassion for recovery-based treatment. And so we want people to know that it's better not to start the drugs in the first place because of how the brain is changed. The substances just do make huge changes. But if they have started, it's never too late to try and stop. And I had one young boy that, he was in his early 20s, and he came in and he said, "Joe, this is the third time I've come back to rehab. Am I ever going to succeed?" And I said to him, "You will. What's important in your life?" And he said, "I've got a young baby now." And I said, "Look, do it for your young baby." And, you know, that made a, it was a turning point, I hope, for him in his life. But the craving, when you go down, often on weekends, the people would get leave from the rehab centre and they'd move back to their peer group and they'd start using the substances again. So we give them strategies to start a new friendship group. Often they made friends with people in rehab and kept those friends as they left, and they kept each other strong. And, of course, we have wonderful support groups out there, Alcoholics Anonymous, Drugs Anonymous, Narconon, etc. And they are great support groups that help people. I have a family friend whose brother was the one who took his life, and he was also into the same substances, but a little bit younger, and his parents caught up with him. He's still fighting it, but doing very well. He's just lost a lot of potential in his life, but he's still a darling friend, and you know, the parents adore him and have given him his adult rights and freedom, but they're just there as a backup, even as he's now in his 30s. You know, it's a long time to actually fully recover once you start these substances.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. So many stories out there that bring hope to the conversations, to the world as well. But yeah. I heard a couple things I want to kind of go back to and expand upon. When you were just sharing about your recovery centers and programs, you know, helping the individuals create new friend groups and really empowering them. When you're talking about Save Your Brain, I heard elements there too, where you're teaching the youth skills, how to say no and respond to peer pressure. Can you unpack that a little bit more? What does that look like in Save Your Brain?
Look, it's really important. It's around, first of all, kids feeling connected. When some of them, once they get to middle school, they change schools. It might be the same in the US, I'm not sure. But any change in a child's life, particularly when they're on the brink of adolescence, any change can be very scary. And so part of our resilience program is helping them to learn how to get connected to new friendship groups, to relate to a new school system, how to, you know, find new hobbies. So that it's a great start. Many of them are so excited about making a new start, but when they get there, they can freeze up and think, "Well, this is too much." And most schools are getting better at, you know, those kinds of things. But we do cover those areas in Save Your Brain just as an extra resource for teachers to have a look at how kids can feel connected very quickly and not feel isolated, and to identify the kids that are learners in the classroom. As a teacher, I learned very quickly that it's the ones that are loud and speak out that you often concentrate on. So the second year of my teaching, I decided I'm going to look at the quiet ones in the classroom, the ones that don't speak out. Well, they may have a real need that is being ignored. And so I know many teachers will identify with that as well, that once you discover that, you become a really much better teacher. And you don't stop the louder ones, the ones that are more forthright, but you encourage them to include the others in the classroom as well, and just don't leave anyone behind. So the resilience is also skills about scripts that you can give kids as to how to say no if you're pressured into doing something they don't want to do. For example, say they're in a friendship group at school, there's always going to be the dominant ones, and they might say, "Hey, we're not supposed to go over in this area of the school yet, but let's go. Nobody's watching. You know, let's just go and hide and do something." You know, just the the adventure part of them when they have a break. Well, if it was a kid that felt good about themselves in that group and didn't want to do that and didn't want to get caught out, they would find an answer that wouldn't embarrass them but would still release them from having to go and be pressured into doing something they wanted to do. So they might say something like, great idea, but look, I'm just going to go to the library. I've just got to catch up on something. Or, oh, I forgot, I've got to go and meet so-and-so, and just exit from, you know, just leave the scene. And they soon quickly learn to have fallback positions they can fall into, that they're not telling lies. They can set up fallback positions. So, and sometimes they may even choose to leave the group as well and make new friends. If they're feeling ostracized, especially if they're saying no a lot to these people, they will work out, as I've often said to students, if people are continually saying things to you that make you feel uncomfortable, they're not really your friends because they're not giving you a respectful relationship. They're not respecting your viewpoint. So think about it, and do you really want friends like that, or do you want friends that understand you and what makes you tick? So it gives kids options and takes away the guilt as well. So those kinds of strategies are built into Save Your Brain quite extensively at the year 7 and 8 level. That's the 11 and 12 year olds. You know, we start it there. We move it into the year 9 and 10s as well, because often that higher level of middle school can have very clever manipulative ways of getting people involved, and people can feel really sad if they're left home on the weekend and not invited out by their friends. And so we encourage them to explore their own interests, their own sports. They might go to a scouting group. They might go to a particular sport they'd like to join, a team, and try out for the team. They might take on rock climbing or something individual, because not everybody's a team member or a team player. You know, they like their own individuality. That's okay as well. But, you know, if teachers are finding kids out there that are loners and feeling lost, without pressuring them, it gives some techniques for teachers to ask questions rather than offer advice, and take kids aside and find out what's troubling them. Yeah. So I hope that, and again, if your listeners see what we have online and have further information to offer, we would love to look at it. Because one of the things about Save Your Brain, we've made a commitment to keep it up to date. It's not static. It's not a website that's going to remain the same right through the next 10 years. We're going to move with the times, and we know how fast the times are moving. So we are seeking all the time community responses.
So much wisdom that you had just shared about the resiliency, the methods which you're teaching the youth. I was taking notes for my own life as well. Wonderful.
Oh gosh.
I know it's still relatively new, but what are some of the impacts or the stories from the communities that are using this wonderful resource?
We're starting off with Anna's story, the one I mentioned earlier. Tony Wood, our ambassador, wants to share Anna's story, so that not one more 15-year-old in this world will be taken by drugs. Now, that's an amazing aim, and we know that there's always going to be perhaps someone falling through the cracks, but you never give up on hope. And 15-year-olds are wonderfully impressionable, beautiful young people. There are some 15-year-olds that parents might be throwing up their hands and saying, it's not my 15-year-old. But their brains are moving fast, their emotions, and we give them, in Save Your Brain, we give them an understanding at their age, what's actually happening. Why are their emotions swinging backwards and forwards? And it's, you know, apart from the hormonal changes, it could be, you know, that they're just trying to express their adulthood and don't have the words to do it. So sometimes their actions play out. And I find that when young people understand what's behind what they're doing, because it might even trouble them, they calm down and they get it. And it's almost a rite of passage that, all right, I did that, but I don't have to do it tomorrow, you know. And if parents can and teachers can share some forgiveness and understand by the knowledge that would come out in the information Save Your Brain, that would be great, because we'll have much happier families, much happier classrooms. At this moment, we've asked expert advisory group to share it. Now, some of those are drug educators. So what they do is they, once they give their program, which might be a Zoom session these days, but if they do go into a classroom again, they leave the information with them about Save Your Brain. So at this stage, we're just getting feedback via our drug educators who say that teachers welcome ongoing resources of all kinds. But the exciting thing now is that we've got a new website that I'll give you the information on today. And that new website asks for feedback, and we're going to be able to get a greater sense of exactly who's interested in it. And I really hope to hear from some of your listeners, because we really value, since the inspiration came from the United States research, we're really hoping that we'll get feedback from your very diverse audience and sector.
All right, you heard it, listeners. They are looking for your feedback. What else is in store for the future of Save Your Brain? What other plans do you have that you can maybe share that aren't top secret just yet?
Well, it's going to be based a lot on what we hear from people, and that might be different from some of the university researchers that put programs up and say, here, I'm here to help you, here, share this. And they may have got some academic knowledge that they've been able to share, but ours is real-time feedback and real-world feedback. We'd stay up to date with research. What I'm really excited about is our Dr. Stuart Reese, who has probably done podcasts and presentations in the United States. I know he just presented to the UK Parliament. So Great Britain has now heard from Dr. Stuart Reese, and he and his colleague, Dr. Gary Hulse in Australia, have breakthrough information about the harms of marijuana, the harms of cannabis on the body and intergenerationally can be toxic for even unborn children because it affects people with cancers. They say they've found 27 cancers now caused by marijuana as opposed to the 14 caused by tobacco. So we're going to incorporate much of their research. It's hot off the press. It's just going out to the publishing areas where, you know, it's given the peer review and all of that. But he's impressed the UK and the UK government a great deal. He's had huge inroads, I think, in the United States already, and great funding from the United States to keep his work going. But Dr. Stuart worked around the clock to get this evidence presented and for people to know. So we're going to be including a lot of that. We're staying close to Dr. DuPont's work and the marvelous work that his institute is doing. We admire greatly what Drug Free America Foundation is doing and how they really keep their finger on the pulse with what's needed in your country and globally. Save Your Brain through Drug Free Australia is now also linked in to the Rotary program. It's RAG UP, that's the acronym, RAGAP, and it's Rotary Action Group Addiction Prevention. And they're going to have a big conference in Houston, Texas. I think it's in July, and that's going to be, very powerful as well. So we are spreading the information about Save Your Brain to Rotary groups in Australia. I've certainly got a presentation to do on the 28th of June, and that's a pretty powerful group in the state where I am in South Australia. So because it's Rotary International, we know we have a global audience. It's wonderful because we're going to be able to push back against drugs and encourage people to prevent using drugs from the outset. That's going to be the solution, just a moratorium on using any drugs at all. Apart from what you are prescribed for your health. So I don't want people to think out there that we're saying don't listen to your doctors. You do need to listen to your doctors. And prescription drugs used as prescription required, you know, that's fine. But don't just pick up any drugs from anybody and think they're safe, because they're not. All our body chemistries are different. And just because some people can eat peanuts, there's a group in our society that can't. They're allergic to them. And it's the same with even some prescription medications you can be allergic to. Always ask you, have you had any reaction to this? I don't want to prescribe it again if you're having trouble with this particular one. And we go through clinical trials for these medicines, but marijuana is not medicine, and we want that to be clear. It's not a medicine. It's a commercial product that's being pushed by people that want to make money.
before we hit record, you had shared that the change is going to come from the communities, people coming together.
Yes.
I wish I had hit record to capture that, but tell me more about how you see the change being driven by or created by community members.
Well, there's two major aspects where we are really inspired by, and we now have links at Drug Free Australia to worldwide groups. One is the Rotary Action Group Addiction Prevention. It's a Rotary Action Group of clubs who reach out to their community with an amazing toolbox of information of how communities can help each other to not adhere to these drugs and not take these drugs. And if you have a problem with drugs, you won't be left behind because there'll be support groups to help you really try to get better. Sadly, the stats are showing that if we're lucky, one third of people that go into rehab can rehabilitate. One third stay on the drugs for a very long time, sometimes a lifetime. And others, unfortunately, their lives go very young. So it's very important that community groups like Rotary can help very actively. They want to use schools, just as we have with Save Your Brain, but they also want to help any groups that are out there with treatment focuses. The Rotary Action Group wants to link into other service groups, sporting groups, anyone that will take on the responsibility we all have as citizens of the world to look after our fellow person and our fellow families. CADCA in the United States does an amazing job as well. And CADCA is very well known, I think, to Drug Free America. And they are doing some wonderful work as well in Indonesia. So they've reached out globally as well. And that then leads me on to two other worldwide groups, the World Federation Against Drugs, who are a wonderful group of people who come from not only prevention organisations but treatment organisations. And it started in Stockholm, Sweden, and now there's a board that's representative of the global community that meets in Vienna or in Stockholm or in Gothenburg in Sweden every couple of years, and they are staying abreast of things as well. And a very new group that's being formed. Now, this is where your listeners may really be interested. They might know about Rotary and they might be involved in Rotary, but this group is saying everyone can be included. It's called One Voice, One Message. OVOM is the acronym. One Voice, One Message. And we want everybody in the community, whether we already belong to an organisation or whether we're a family just sitting there saying, what can I do about drugs? I'm really scared. An up-and-coming teenager who I'm really worried, are they going to turn to drugs? All of those people with their stories, with their skills, can join OVM. And on the 26th of June, OVM is going to officially launch. So this is hot off the press news. And there'll be a media release going out into every country. We have a group of people called our coordinating team that's representative of each continent of the world. So we've taken in India, Africa, which is so many countries, but Africa's coming on board really well. Europe, including the United Kingdom, Eastern Europe, including Romania, who are going through so much with the awful situation right on their borders with the Ukraine. And of course, Oceania and Southeast Asia. So we have Indonesia, Singapore, we have New Zealand and the islands of Fiji and all of those areas and Australia. So all of these continents and regions are coming together to say everyone in every community can help combat the push for illegal, dangerous drugs. And that will be launched certainly on the 26th of June, which is the International Day Against Trafficking and Drug Abuse. That's the United Nations International Day. And that's the day we want to fully launch Save Your Brain. We want it to coincide and fully launch Save Your Brain with every module available as a starting point. After that, it's over to your audience and anyone out there that wants to add to Save Your Brain and make it even better and stronger and more supported.
I was taking notes over here. The 26th is going to be a big day globally. I made a note. Yeah. I am looking forward to it. And before we hit record, I already knew you believe what I believe. But now this OVMI group, the global group that's launching, the audience members probably already know it's coming, but they believe it too. Prevention is better together, and we're stronger together. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. I'm so flustered. I don't remember what I was going to ask next. That is just amazing. So how about this? As we bring this episode to a close, if you were going to tell the listeners, if you're going to remember one thing from this episode, remember this. What would it be?
I believe that prevention is better together and that everyone has something to offer. There's not one person out there that wouldn't be able to offer support in some way. And there's many people I've come across that feel humbled and think, I can't, what can I do? Every person these days, I would say, would have a story to tell. If it's not their family, it might be a friend's family or a relative's family. And sharing those stories and how it could have been prevented. And that's not anything to do with parents doing something wrong. It's that until now, parents haven't felt empowered. We are better together. Parents can be empowered, and we want to save your brain to give you more tools, together with the Rotary Initiative, together with the One Voice, One Message Initiative. We want to give you the power as parents and as teachers and as school counselors and as coaches. You have the power to form really healthy young individuals to look after our future.
Marvelous. One last question. How can folks get involved? Now, I'll put the link to Save Your Brain website in the show notes, but how else? What other links?
Definitely. Thank you. The new website, I don't know whether you have that. It's saveyourbrain, all in one word, .com.au. Mm-hmm. So the new website is saveyourbrain.com.au. The other website that I'd love to give you, and perhaps I can send it a little bit later, is the one for Rotary. That's got a fantastic toolbox on it. And the One Voice, One Message, the website will be launched on the 26th. So they are the three main ways to get in. And also our email is a very easy one. It's admin@drugfree.org.au. I hope I made it clear to your listeners that the website until the 26th will only be one module that they can look at. It's a snapshot. Mm-hmm. They can look at the course outlines for every year level, but the actual modules will be completed and uploaded by the end of June.
Marvelous. I was over here capturing all those. Listeners, check out those show notes and absolutely go check out the Save Your Brain website, the modules, and be sure to share your feedback with Joe and her team at Drug Free Australia. And then the 26th, that is the big day for the launch of so many great resources and wonderful resources. So check out those show notes, y'all. It is an absolute pleasure. And I was taking notes during this episode. You shared so much wisdom with us. Thank you very much for your time and for doing the amazing work that you are doing, not just in Australia, but the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That concludes this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and share this episode with a friend before you leave. And we look forward to seeing you on social media, because prevention is better together. Together, we are stronger.